Sydney-based rock band Royale with Cheese are Australia's premier 90s rock show, delivering an electrifying journey through the decade's most iconic sounds. When their flannos and docks hit the stage, these musical time travellers transport audiences back to the gritty, glorious era of alternative rock, grunge, Britpop and Oz rock. More than just a cover band, Royale with Cheese resurrects an entire decade with every power chord and anthemic chorus, turning each performance into a rollicking 90s party. But what is it like to be in a professional cover band and playing all the songs that you love night after night after night? Well, joining us on Overnights this morning is David Moses, the drummer for Royale with Cheese, to tell us more about what it's like being part of this band. Good morning, David.
Hi, Greta. How are you going?
Oh, fine, thanks. What did you think of that intro?
I loved it. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Look, what can you tell us about Royale with Cheese? What kind of band is it, and when did you guys form?
We formed 10 years ago, so we're coming up to our 10-year anniversary in April. So it's five guys, all massive fans of 90s music, and we got together to try and put together a show that encompasses the whole decade. So we try and cover everything from Spice Girls to Nirvana and everything in between, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, I've heard your rendition of Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Let's clarify that it is in the grunge style.
Yes. We play Spice Girls as if Pearl Jam were going to cover Spice Girls.
Yeah. What is it about the 90s? Is it because you grew up on the music, or why is that the focal point?
When we put the band together, there seemed to be a lot of 80s cover shows around and no one really doing 90s. And I don't know, for me, I preferred the 90s to the 80s. I remember when Nirvana came in and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and all those bands started coming to the fore right at the start of the 90s, it was a big deal. It was the end of the 80s hair band scene, and it was just a more down-to-earth sound that I loved, and that's kind of what we tried to do in our show as well. We don't cosplay. We don't dress up as any artist or anything. We are ourselves, and we just try and stay true to the music and play it as best we can in our own way. And it's great. We've got a lot of fans that are sort of 30 to 50s. They were there. They lived through it. They love it. And then you get the younger kids who never got to see Nirvana or Alice in Chains or Soundgarden, and it gives them a chance to, experience that music live when they'll never get to see the original act.
And it's sort of, I think about it as all the bands that were, written on my pencil case in high school in whiteout, It's that kind of thing. It's 90s. So, I'm a millennial. I'm of that vintage. But it was quite confronting when I realised, oh my gosh, like, I'm vintage. Like, was there a moment for you when you were like, oh gosh, we're a retro act now?
Right from the start, we were a retro act.
Yeah, but, so it was an active decision. You're like, this is a niche market where no one's doing the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And just to try and, I mean, so much of the music that we play is, it is better live. It was a sign of the times, whereas since then, music's got a lot more electronic, a lot more computer-based, and a lot less about the live experience than it was in the 90s or in the 80s or 70s for that matter. But the 90s, the music we play lends itself to being played live. And it's just a great thing every night just to be able to give so much pleasure to people who miss that music and miss that live experience.
You're right, though. It feels like it was the last time in sort of recent years where live bands were, people would go out to see live bands a lot, and then after that it sort of moved into laptops, into the bedroom.
That's right.
Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure, laptops. And then And then COVID didn't help matters either, just in terms of stopping people going out altogether. So, you know, there was a while there, you know, in sort of 2021, 22, when people were slowly coming back to life after COVID, and they would come out to the shows and just come up to us crying after at the end of the night, just so grateful for live music again and for being in that situation. So, that's what we're doing.
I want to talk more about that, about the audience reactions. But first, let's just take us through a typical set list for you. What are we likely to see at a Royale with Cheese show?
Okay. So there's some bands that we will cover every night. Smashing Pumpkins, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Oasis, Blur, Chili Peppers, all the really big acts of the 90s. We make sure that we hit them every night. And then we cover, then there's a bunch of Aussie stuff that we just sprinkle. We change our set list every night, by the way, so which is quite unusual for live acts. Because we've got such a large repertoire, we've got 170 songs that we do from the 90s. We can change it every night. We can do, you know, a couple of nights back-to-back without repeating a song, which is a lot of fun.
Okay, so that's really interesting. Okay, because that's how you differ from a tribute act. Because first of all, they're in costume and they're restricted to one band. Whereas having the whole decade, it keeps it sort of more or less fresh.
It does, and that's important for us as musicians. You know, we don't want to be going out there night after night playing the same set over and over. So we change it up and try and keep it interesting for us and for the fans. I write the set lists, and it's a lot of fun. It's probably the most fun, actually, in my job. I really love it.
Oh, okay. You write the set list because I have a bone to pick. When I went to the show, I'm your typical soccer mum, I have to say, these days. When I went to your show, I noticed that bands were all there, the big bands you want to hear, but it was hit adjacent. Like, you didn't go for the obvious hit. Like, if you're going to do Monkey Wrench, you don't go, you, I think you did Everlong instead. So if you're going to do Foo Fighters, you do Everlong and not Monkey Wrench. That's what I noticed.
The next night we might do Monkey Wrench.
Oh, well, there you go. So it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah, so, you know, we've got, you know, or it could be This Is a Call. You know, we've got a few different Foo Fighters songs and we'll always try and hit one every night. But, I mean, Everlong is a big one, isn't it? So that one does get played quite a lot, but, yeah, look, you know, we just have so much fun with these bands, and yes, we won't necessarily play the biggest hit every night, but yeah, we just try and keep it interesting and fun, and that keeps people coming back.
Certainly. Now, let's talk about that. You had people coming up to you crying after the show after COVID, just so grateful to see a live act. What are some of the other reactions that are memorable to you, good and bad? Let's start with the good.
Oh God, good and bad. Mostly it is just that. At the end of the night, because I'm on the drums, I'm quite removed from the audience, right? I don't actually get to, they're not in my face all night like they are the rest of the guys. But so I get the reactions at the end of the night. And it is always just people being grateful, just for hitting this band or this song or just for the music in general.
But the other thing, the other way that you know, women of my vintage can interact with a band is to treat you like a wedding DJ and stumble up to you drunkenly and go, can you play this? What, do you get that?
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, and the number of times we have to explain to people, no, K-San is not from the 90s. It's not even from the 80s.
Is that the youngsters you have to explain that to? Because I don't imagine they would be.
Oh, no.
No, no.
Oh, no, it's the old people. No,
oh,
no, no.
Play K-San.
Youngsters don't yell out. No, no.
They're polite.
They're too polite and shy, and they're still learning their way around a live act. But, yes, it's the older ones that are screaming out for K-San or songs that are just definitely not 90s.
You're not a jukebox.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Some of the requests are hilarious, but yeah, it's those ones that come up. But look, for the most part, people are pretty happy with what they get.
Oh yeah.
I can remember, you know, one night I've now got quite a complicated little spreadsheet that I use to write the set list. But
that's a lot of work for a drummer. Just jumping in there. Oh, there's a reputation
what do
that
mean
drummer
for a drummer.
Look, I'm not a muso, but there's a reputation amongst drummers that what is it like? What do you call a drummer without a girlfriend? Homeless. There's that old joke. Uh-huh. You know, I'm not a look. That's just very.
I've heard them all, Greta.
Reductive. But you know, I'm just being a smartass. Good on you with your spreadsheet. I can't understand a spreadsheet, so someone needs to do it. So drumming and admin, that's your role within Royal Cheese.
Yeah, that's right.
So your complicated spreadsheet. Yes, yeah, sorry, I cut you off there. Go on.
We're
meant to be talking about rock and roll, by the way. What are we talking about spreadsheets?
I use that to make sure that I hit all the artists that we need to hit every night. But, you know, before I had the spreadsheet, I did, you know, occasionally, you know, it'd be the end of the night, someone would come up and say, you didn't play any Chili Peppers. I'm like, what's a 90s show without Chili Peppers? But anyway, the spreadsheet cured all of that.
Right, and what's the most, okay, I'm just interested in this, what's the most bizarre request you've gotten, like a K-San that you're like, what? And how do the guys, you and the guys respond to it? How do you navigate that?
I mean, normally we just laugh, but yeah, the strange ones are only that. It's only something that's just some left field, you know. I mean, sometimes my mother will come to a show and be upset that we didn't play Sweet Caroline, you know. That happens too.
I don't want to think about how many times you've tried to explain to her, Diamond. Not exactly grunge.
Not 90s. Yeah. And, you know, we will let the odd song slip in from, you know, from 89 or, like, Teenage Dirtbag is actually 2000.
Yeah.
Right? But it's so 90s that we do that.
It is, yeah.
But otherwise, we're quite strict. It's got to be 90s and it's got to be good. And then we'll have a lot of fun with it. We don't even, you know, we'll go out and play things that aren't, you know, we might not have played it for a year or 2 years, but we'll take risks on stage, which again is more of that kind of rock ethos rather than a straight up tribute show. So we like to have a good time on stage.
But taking risks, like presumably there's a lot of work that goes into being able to do that, preparation, rehearsing, you know, a symbiosis with each other. A lot of work behind the scenes to get to that point where you can just play whatever you want on a whim?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, you couldn't do that without, I mean, like I said, we've got 10 years of shows behind us now and hundreds of hours in rehearsal rooms as well. So And thousands of hours together on stage. So we can, you know, we're at that point now where we can be a little bit more loose and take some risks and have some fun with it. You know, we'll from time to time we'll try and play a really complicated song like 46 and 2 by Tool, which is, you know, not made for a four-piece drum kit, but we'll just have fun with it all the same and try and fake our way through it, and most of the time it comes off.
What's your favourite song to play?
I'm a massive Pearl Jam fan, so I really enjoy playing songs like Even Flow and Daughter. I'm no fan of the Backstreet Boys, but Everybody by Backstreet Boys is one of the funnest songs to drum to.
And to see you guys doing it as well, to seeing, you know, some long-haired grungers playing a boy band song. That's visually as well. There's an element there that's not in the others. It's very playful.
Yeah, excellent. That's good. Good to hear.
Yeah, I think that's why people love it as well. And what got you into? Who got you into drumming? Who was your musical inspiration?
Rob Hurst from Midnight Oil was one of the first drummers I saw live, and he was a huge inspiration. I've got tons of them, but you know, Dave Grohl or Matt Cameron from the 90s, or Carter Beauford from Dave Matthews Band. He's my favourite drummer. I named my son after him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
So plenty, and lots of jazz drummers too. I'm into, you know, Tony Williams and guys like that. But plenty of influences over the years. And, you know, they all kind of come together to give you your own voice, even when you're playing other people's songs.
Yeah, and just on that, was there, I mean, this is a bit of a tricky question, but it's something I've wondered about. But when you are playing other people's songs for a living, is there anything that you sort of wrestle with in terms of your own creative output or your own mark on the world, or what is it that keeps you here and doing what you do?
Look, we do bring our own voice to these songs.
Mm.
So, that ticks a little bit of that creative thing that you're talking about there. But, you know, for the most part, we just love bringing our own interpretations of this music to modern-day audiences. And it's just, it really is, at the end of the night, just about making people happy. And that's what we set out to do.
Yeah, and is that sort of living the dream for a musician in a way, that you get to play the songs you love all
100%.
The time?
Yeah, 100%. We love it.
So
we tour the country. Yeah. Look, you know, I mean, and it's as much for pleasure as for anything else. I mean, yes, it is what we do for a living. But if it wasn't actually joyful for us, then we wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah, you know, it's not something you can really fake on stage. We are very happy to be there and be playing that music and to be sharing it with the audience.
No, I think that's a really great place to end there, David. But I just want to ask you one more thing out of interest. If you've been a touring musician for 10 years, you just mentioned that you've got, you know, a little son. And do you have other kids?
Yeah, I've got two others as well, yeah.
Two others. Look, how do you balance it with family? This is a question that's asked of women all the time. But how do you balance that lifestyle of, you know, being on the road as a musician for extended periods of time with a family?
I have a very understanding wife.
Yeah. Is she in the biz? She'd have to be, right?
Is she in the biz? No, yeah. No. Oh. No, she's a journalist. She's in your biz.
Ah.
We've all got very supportive families and they know how important it is for us to be able to do this, and they do everything they can to help us and support us. And that includes, you know, looking after the kids while we're away on tour and everything else, you know. So we just come back and then try and slot back into home life and then do it all again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the only way I can support you is by playing a track that you would like to hear, David. So any requests you want to go out on? What do you want to be played out on?
Go on, give us Everlong.
Everlong? Everlong? You sure you don't want Backstreet's Back?
No.
All right. Everlong it is. David, thank you so much for speaking with me. And just quickly, where could people find more about your show?
So we've got a good presence on Facebook. Look up Royale with Cheese Ultimate 90s Rock Show or royalewithcheese.net.au is our website.
Oh, the one thing I forgot to ask you quickly, the name, where does the name come from for those who don't know, Royale with Cheese?
The name comes from Pulp Fiction, from the one of the greatest movies of the 90s. And it's, a line out of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, the discussion between Travolta and Samuel Jackson? No, yeah.
That's
yeah,
it.
That's
yep,
it.
Yep.
Great. David, thank you so much. That is David Moses, Royale with Cheese's drummer. Thank you so much. And let's hear a bit of Dave Grohl.